This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 226, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And my next book, titled Aspects of Alien Abduction, will be published on May 25th, and you can pre-order the Kindle version on Amazon right now. This week, I'm talking to Jessica Bryan about her book, The Ticker Tape, Healing Encounters with Extraterrestrial and Spiritual Beings. Hi, Jessica. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, good morning, Simon.
So we're going to talk about your book. It's called The Ticker Tape, Healing Encounters with Extraterrestrial and Spiritual Beings. So first of all, I got to ask, what is the ticker tape?
That's the first question. So the ticker tape appeared to me about 6 years ago. And actually, this whole process started in 2019 after I edited 12 books for Peter Maxwell Slatterly, who's a UFO person down in Australia. And I believe that's how I got hooked up with the ETs that I've now been involved with ever since. And so things were going on for a while, and different things happened, as you know, because you saw the book. But one day I was meditating. I started meditating every day at the same time, you know, steadfastly. And one day I saw this thing manifested in my clairvoyant vision. So it's going to explain it. It's a rectangle sideways, and the words on the ticker tape run from the right to the left, kind of like you would read Hebrew, like Hebrew would be written. And it's just a steady stream of language. And one problem that I've had is maybe because of my age or the level of my clairvoyance, I can't read the whole thing. And that's been a big issue for me because I want to know what it says. And but the first thing, but I do read little bits of it, and I have a number of those here I could read to you, different quotes from the actual ticker tape.
Yeah.
But that first one was, want to make contact, which, and a little picture of the little guy, kind of the way all a lot of other contactees draw them.
It's a kind of information delivery then. It's like they found a way to deliver information to you on this ticker tape.
Exactly. And actually, just last week, I came up with a specific definition for it. Etheric construct, a telepathic communication device. In other words, it's made of energy. It's energy. And it communicates. Now, sometimes I can read parts of it. And other times I hear language, like someone will say something to me in English. Usually when it's something really important, something pithy that they want to make sure I understood, then they also, they transmit it telepathically. You know, I mean, I hear it in my head.
And it's a thing where you can't always understand the words.
No. Well, I know it's in English, but it moves really fast. And it moves really quickly from right to left, and it's blurry most of the time. And that's, as I said before, I believe that's due to my level of clairvoyant ability. And in fact, they have told me, you know, a lot of the things that happen in the book about all the healing stuff that happens, I believe the underlying purpose, their purpose for this, other than maybe I just have good karma, I don't know. The intention is to improve my physical body and my being and increase my third eye.
So do you feel that this ticker tape thing is something that's new to them and they're working it out as they go along? They're still experimenting with it?
No, not at all. I believe this is a known thing. And actually, one of the reasons, I mean, I wrote this book because I just to help myself understand what was happening, but also because I'm very eager to find anyone else on planet Earth who is seeing a similar thing. And so I thought, well, if I publish the book and it gets any kind of exposure, like you're offering right now, I'll be able to find other people and they can tell me what's going on. I mean, I have other ideas about it. But a lot of the messages are the ones that I can read. A lot of them are general, like, I don't know if it means I'm supposed to tell people or the ticker tape is telling everyone who's reading it. There's a lot of mystery around this whole thing, which is part of why I'm so fascinated by it.
And is it that you only see it in meditation?
Actually, no. If I sometimes going to sleep at night, before I go to sleep, I'll see it's running. I think it's running 24/7, really. But I don't know. I'm not always tuned into it. I just tune into it specifically. And actually, I want to tell you a message I got about 10 days ago. Right in the middle of the ticker tape, I heard a voice say, the words are running, and someone spoke. And she said, Jessica, something wonderful is going to happen with regard to your book. I think maybe you're it. I don't know. I don't have any idea what, you know, that these things. Well, I have a whole bunch of interesting, you know, I made a whole list of the most interesting ones if you want to hear more of them.
Yeah, but perhaps we can do that as we go on. Do you know who's writing what is on the ticker tape? Do you think it's just one person or it's a group?
Let me think about that for a minute. Well, first of all, I think I'm not the only person receiving it. This is part of why I would like to be in contact with other people who've seen this. Oh, by the way, someone told me after that last podcast that Whitley Strieber had said that he sees a similar thing. I don't know if he calls it the ticker tape. So I feel, I don't know if the information is tailored to me entirely. Oh boy, maybe the running ticker tape is going to everybody, but when I hear the voice, then someone who's operating it is speaking specifically to me. That could be possible. Oh, and also something else that happened recently is I saw it get turned off, you know, at the end, you know, getting towards the end of meditation. Instead of just, I don't know, stopping or going away, I saw an electric blue light in the lower right-hand corner of, I call it my viewing screen, like someone had pressed a button and turned it off. It was very distinctive.
So when you're meditating, you've got your eyes closed, and when we all close our eyes, it's sort of, we don't see anything at all, do we? We see stuff in our imagination. But do you feel like you're seeing this with your eyes, or it's in your mind's eye?
It's in my third eye. Yeah. Okay. So I begin my meditation with the Lord's Prayer, which is like a mantra, which is not to tell your listeners that they need to use the Lord's Prayer as a mantra, because that, you know, talking Christianity here. It's just that that's a familiar prayer for me. And let's see, and when I get to the line in that prayer where it says, deliver us from evil, I always bring in the light of protection for myself and anyone else, you know, just a general protective thing. I learned that from Pete Slatterly, how important that is. You know, I saw you wrote a book about near-death experiences and how it says in either the promotion or the title is something about thoroughly validated, investigated, the things that are happening to me, I don't think it's possible necessarily to do that. The only thing I can say is it had been happening every day for 6 years and it hasn't varied. Also, if I don't sit for meditation, I'm sort of forced to do it at the same time.
Well, that's weird. What do you mean, forced to do it?
Well, not forced to do it, pulled to do it. And there's a lot in the book about, basically I've been in a class, a teaching situation. And it's taken various forms. I don't know if you notice in the book, when I graduated from the first level of the class, I had a vision of, I call him the Tin Man, but, and he's holding a bouquet of red, bright red balloons. Okay, so they always show me red when they're happy with me or something good has happened. And so they showed me that, right? It was like, congratulations, you've graduated. Okay, so I think I'm now in the third or fourth level of the class. So, you know, this is something that's happening somewhere else. And it's also happening to other humans. I believe that. I'd stake my life on that. And I know listening to me talk about it might be confusing. Well, that's part of why I wrote a book about it, trying to understand it myself.
So what are you learning in these classes? What are they teaching you?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay.
I might have to think about that one for a while because, well, okay. So a lot of it is about, well, in some of my visions in the more advanced classes that I'm in now, I see visions of, I call him the metaphysician. This is a very grand teacher wearing elaborate robes, and he's up in front of the class, and he's talking about healing humans, healing. He's talking a lot about healing. He's talking about the evolution of the human race. See, the problem is I don't get it all with my conscious mind. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I see myself there. I get the emotional and the energetic, mostly the energetic impact of what's going on. But I don't get the details. And according, there's one message they gave me recently where they said, we are trying to improve your third eye. So a lot of the healing that I've received at the physical level is directly related to improving my ability to receive clairvoyant, you know, information. I don't think I mentioned the fact that I'm almost 80 years old and this is all happening, right? So, you know, the body's old. It's been around the block a few times. And I've had amazing. Did you read any of the parts about the different healings?
Yes. Yeah, I was going to ask you about those. There have been reports of healing from ETs that I think Preston Dennett has got a whole book about it. And there's a chapter I've got in my new book about it as well.
Yeah, I didn't know about Preston Dennett for a long time. And when I found out about him, and then I saw the title of that book, oh my goodness, I was overjoyed. Did you notice that he wrote me a beautiful endorsement that's on the back cover of my book?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and in fact, the first I contacted him, I mean, normally I don't go around trying to contact people like that, but I contacted him and to ask him, did he know anyone else who was seeing anything like the ticker tape? And he said, yes, he had met one person. Now think about the thousands of people he interacts with. I was very happy there was one, but I wish there had been more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I've got somebody in my book who says that they were picked up by a UFO and they could remember everything that happened at one point, but it seemed like they were taken to a desk and they were being taught something. And that got very foggy. And he knows he learned stuff, but he just can't remember what it was.
I don't know if it's selective memory or if it's, in my case, because my third eye is incomplete. My clairvoyant ability, I mean, I've had this ability for a long time. I did readings and energy healing for 15 years up until COVID. I got sick from COVID and everybody was sick. But the advances in my personal clairvoyant ability has been incredible. And that's in part because of the physical work that they have done on my brain. I mean, I actually had brain surgery. I think I gave it a title, Brain Surgery on the Astral Plane, just for fun, you know. For example, in terms of this increase in my abilities to receive information. In the beginning, like when I was doing a lot of readings for people, especially long distance reading, I did it all by automatic writing. I'm sure you know what that is, right? Yeah, because you live in England where they have the spiritualist church. But what I didn't really think about the word channeling very much. I mean, I knew I was channeling because I was getting information from other places about the people that I was trying to help, right? But with the ticker tape, this has gone beyond anything I ever expected. I just realized, okay, so at the end of the I should tell you I'm already a third of the way into another book because this whole experience has continued. And I don't know what I'm going to do about that later, but at the end of the first ticker tape book, the one you've read, there's a section called at the very end, "Message to the People of Earth from Our Friends in the Pleiades." Now, I'm kind of only guessing that it's the Pleiades. I don't know that 100%, but I think it is. And did you read that by any chance? It's all the way at the right at the end. Okay, so when that message came through, there was a lot going on around the ascension and the shift. That was last fall, I believe. And when it came through, I don't know if I knew it immediately. I knew it was important. And I ran and got a little cassette tape recorder so I could record it. I don't remember now how I knew it was. But then I started talking in another voice. It was someone else was using my voice box to give this message to the people of Earth. And it was a message, I believe, about going to the new Earth, the shift, the ascension. You know, everybody's talking about that, how, you know, it's kind of an Armageddon kind of theory. But it was remarkable. I mean, I don't think I could even imitate it. I have that recording in the other room if you wanted to hear it. But I was blown away by it. I didn't think about it a whole lot. And then recently, it happened again in a different format. And in this format, someone came to me for hands-on energy healing. And like I said, I did a lot of that in the past, but I haven't been doing very much of it since COVID. So anyway, someone came to me for energy healing, and her problem was, her main thing she came for is she was having trouble speaking her truth. She just couldn't figure out what to do with her life. Her kids just left home. She didn't know how to ask. She didn't know what she wanted to do. She didn't know how to ask for it. But it was all about speaking her truth. And so I proceeded to do a regular hands-on energy healing like I've been doing for years with my hands on her feet and running energy. And I'm sure you know that. Very simple. And except that this time, this was just a few weeks ago, something else took over, just like the voice that I heard in that message I just told you about. Only this time it was a voice in combined with moving the energy and through this person's body and diagnosing everything that had happened to her to bring her in this lifetime to her current confusion and, you know, what she wanted to figure out. And it included two past lives. I saw pictures of two of her past lives in my third eye. I mean, I don't even know what to say about these things. I'm sure there's plenty of million mediums on planet Earth who've had experiences like that. But for me, it's new, and it's a sign of my own evolution, which has all been brought about by the beings that are behind the ticker tape.
The beings, you get visions of them, don't you? Do you see these kind of gray aliens that lots of people report?
I haven't exactly seen that You see the ones on my book cover, the little faces with the big eyes and they're smiling.
Yeah.
They look a lot like, if you look at Preston Dennett's drawings, he puts them on the web all the time. A lot of my drawings look like his, and I've seen those. I've seen that kind of ET. I've also seen, there's a group of them that I call the Parade, and they come to see me. They are coming since the end of the first book. That section is done, but I don't see all the details. But it's more like knowing and not exactly seeing. I can't explain it. They wear a lot of brightly colored sort of costumes. They look like characters out of the Bible, sort of, with red robes, and you know. But I don't see their faces. And then at the towards the end of the first Sticker J book, there's the healing with the blue light instrument, and in that being, I see the instrument he's using. I see his hands. And that's one kind of beings. They have long, thin, webbed fingers and very close together, almost like there's no space between the fingers. And they're just lit up in this electric blue light. I associate them with the Pleiades. And I think it's kind of funny, if you see on the internet, a lot of people drawing pictures of blue beings, you know, and they're always gorgeous. Like the women, then they look like male and female humans. And they have long blonde hair and bright blue eyes. Well, yeah, I see the blonde hair and the blue eyes, but they don't look like the, I don't know, magazine characters people are putting up online.
But was there a time you were in the park and you saw one hiding?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was kind of like the grand finale to this book that I'm writing, and that I wrote. And I really can't say that I wrote it, because I really feel like they wrote it through me. They wrote it through me and for me, and because they were having fun with it. And they wanted me to share this with other people. Yeah, that was kind of the grand finale. That was very unusual. So I had an especially deep meditation that day. And as I often do, I went in the car to the beautiful park near where we live. Only I was still in trance. I was in an altered state of consciousness. I've never taken drugs, but it was kind of like I was drugged in a trance, kind of wandering through the park. And so all I saw was his face, and he didn't look like he really looks. But, you know, when it was one of these little round white faces with the big black eyes, like a lot of people draw that image. And he was in this bush in the park behind a bunch of branches, but I could see him very clearly. And he looked at me and kind of giggled, and he said, "Want to take a walk?" Because I was in the park. It was like he was making a joke. I also saw another character that I called the woman in white. And just recently, I read something from Rowan Bowe, who's another person who just wrote a book about her experiences. And I might get that book, because she talks a lot about the woman in white. Who else did I see that day? But the whole time in the park, it was like, I was really on another planet, but I was also in Lithia Park. I was, what did they call that? Bilocated, like in two places at once. Yeah.
Did you feel that being communicated with you through telepathy? It wasn't speaking.
Oh, no, it was telepathic. Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't go for a walk with it?
No, he was just making a joke, because here I was taking a walk in the park. And this is the only time that I've had a vision of any kind with any of these beings, as far as I can think of, in a public place, with my eyes open. Everything else that's happened to me is telepathic, visionary, you know. if one of them walked in my front door right now, I don't know, I'd probably fall on the floor. in shock. The one thing that validates it that I can say is it's consistent. It happens over and over. Something happens every day. So now that I'm into book two, that has changed. Some of the characters that are in the book that you've got, this the first ticker tape book, some of those characters, I'm not seeing them anymore. And there's one I really miss, the one I call the whispered voice. I really miss her. Boy, oh boy. She was like a, I don't know, like a twin soul, like a, you know, it's like she was walking around with me. And she might have been the one, you know about walk-ins, of course, right?
Yeah.
When a walk-in is, yeah. So early in the book, I talked about how I got a walk-in. This, I think this is pretty funny, worth talking about. And I was told telepathically, I don't know if they said she or it will be with you for 5 or 6 years for the coming hard times on Earth. And something came into me. And the next day I went to drive the car and I couldn't remember how to drive the car. Now I've been driving for 15 years. I couldn't remember. And I got up to a traffic light and I had a panic attack. I thought, what am I supposed to do? And then I realized it wasn't me. It was this other energy that had joined with me and in spirit. And she didn't know how to drive a car. I thought that was so funny. It took about a week for her to get it, what driving a car was, what being in a physical body was, my body in particular.
With all this stuff that's coming to you, how can you be sure that you're not just making it up? How do you trust it?
Because I always tell people, I'm not clever enough to make this stuff up. I never have been. I've been very pragmatic, a literalist. My husband calls me a literalist. My entire life, I studied psychology for years. I was a legal secretary for 30 years. Very linear left brain stuff. And everything that's happened to me, you know, and this, what's going on here, is definitely not linear. I couldn't make it up, Simon. I don't have that big of an imagination. And the other thing that validates it for me is it's been going on every day since 2019, pretty much.
Well, I wanted to ask you about something else you say in the book. You say, I woke up briefly and looked down at my feet. They were resting on the floor, but the floor was made of metal.
Yes. Okay. This is a very important subject. I'm glad we got to this. Okay, so what's happened to me is all of the experiences that I've had, certainly most of them in the first ticker tape book, are behind what they call screen memories. I call them cover stories. In other words, the ETs that myself and other people are interacting with are hidden behind a cover story. And I had a message one time not long ago where I was talking or doing something and I heard there was three of them and they were laughing and I didn't see them. I just heard them. They were laughing and they said, we don't even look like that. Maybe I was like, it was a big, like the whole screen memory thing was a big joke that they had fun with, you know, oh, let's show this human ourselves like this, or let's show that human ourselves like that. And they do that. Well, I think for their own entertainment, but also so that we won't be scared. You know, so many stories you read, especially from the past, you know, like from years, you know, the whole ET UFO history that everybody's talking about now. It's all like, oh, my God, I woke up and there was a light in my room and I got floated out the window on a beam of light and they took me into a ship and did horrible experiments on me, you know. That has not been my experience at all. I mean, there have been a few harrowing moments during healing, but by the time those moments occurred, I already trusted them completely. Did you Did you read the part about brain surgery?
Yeah, I did want to ask you about that. Can you explain everything that happened there? Why did you need the brain surgery?
How many hours do you have? Okay, why did I need brain surgery? Okay, so I had a number of injuries in my life when I was about 17. No, wait a minute. When I was 16, I got punched by a drunken Lithuanian at a party in Philadelphia in the head, on the left side of my head. Then when I was in, the big one was, then I had a car accident that hit my left rib cage, and I had scoliosis from that, which twisted everything up, including my neck and my head. And then the big one was in the Philippines. I was riding in a jeepney, one of those little tricycle carts, and he hit a really bad bump, and I got a really serious whack on the left side of my head, halfway between the top of my left ear and the top of my head, which shoved all the bones in my head over to the right. I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't go to a hospital. I didn't want to go to a hospital in the Philippines, that's for sure. And so I've just been walking around for years, kind of twisted at the physical level. And so there's been a lot of things going on to correct that, one of which was the brain surgery thing. Now, that I have not seen. I saw myself or felt myself or was aware of myself, in and out on the astral plane or wherever it is, on a ship, I don't know, probably on a craft, lying on a metal table, surrounded by a group of ETs that I couldn't see very clearly, and I knew they were doing something at the top of my head, but I was not allowed to see that. And I believe that's a protective thing because they don't want people that they're working on in any way to freak out, right? I think that's the main message of this book, is that the ETs I've interacted with have all been kind and supportive and loving. And, it's nothing like, I don't understand why, but it's not like those stories about people who were forced to have hybrid children and, that's why I thought it was important to publish this. I wrote it. I'm already writing the second one. I didn't have to publish any of it, put myself out there, make myself vulnerable to what the public might think. But that's a message that I wanted to get across. Let's see. Okay, so we had this brain surgery thing has been going on until just recently. The form it's taken the last 8 months. I've been receiving healing from it from a, you probably think I'm crazy. Oh boy, from an extraterrestrial being who I call Shirley Temple. Shirley Temple is her cover story. She looks like Shirley Temple. Curly, all I see is her face and her head, and she has a massive blonde curly hair, bright blue eyes, and a mischievous little smile. And I named her Shirley Temple because of the way she looked. And I know this is a cover story. Who knows what she looks like? If I saw what she really looked like, I'd probably fall over in a faint. You know what I'm saying? And that's been the most recent thing that's been going on. And so she comes to me in meditation. She comes very, very slowly. I see her face off in the distance. And she comes towards me very slowly, incrementally. The first time this happened, I nearly had a panic attack and pulled myself out of meditation. I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen when she gets to me, And that's happened now maybe five times. you know, every couple months over the last, you know, year. And then she merges into me. She goes really slowly because she knows I'm scared. I can't tell you how I know these things, Simon. It's she moves very, very slowly. She gets up to my face and there's a moment of total panic. And then she merges right into my head and starts mucking around or doing whatever she's doing. And then just recently, I had a message. Hold on. Quote, the job is finished, end quote. Now, that's been within the last couple, 3 weeks I received that.
Well, have you noticed a difference since that started and now it's completed?
Oh, I am a different person. You can ask the man I live with. I mean, he's a chiropractor. And the first healing that I had was with CG, who is from the Pleiades. She is a being that we could call them characters because they really are like very distinctive characters who Pete Slatterly wrote three books about her. And I edited them along with all the rest of his books. And so when I was working with him at one point, he said, CG wants to write another book. I said, well, if she wants me to be the editor, she'll have to help me with my vision. Cause at that time I was losing my vision sort of. I mean, I didn't want to strain it anymore, what I had, you know? And, so she did this very dramatic healing, which I wrote about early in the book. And, my eyesight did not improve a whole lot, but it has definitely not gotten worse. Both my parents were blind by the time they were my age. So counting my lucky stars. How did I start talking about that? What was your last question? Oh, what have I noticed from the healing? Yes. Well, so I told you about Shirley. We talked about brain surgery. Structural, oh, lots of that. Moving things around, bones and, I know why I told you about my eyes, because she, during that, I won't go into detail, but she actually caused an eye adjustment where she shoved my right eye over to the right to have a big cataract in that eye. When I told Tom about it, I said, guess what? I had a chiropractic eyeball adjustment, and he practically fell on the floor laughing, you know? And it is funny. I mean, you have to think of it as fun and funny, or otherwise you might freak out. So there's been a lot of that structural stuff bit by bit. And I fell in 2024 too. And that's what started all of that changing. Oh, but the mental and emotional, I wanted to say something about that is that I went through a period around the couple of months before this last Christmas where when I was younger, I had kind of a fractured personality, you could say, due to trauma. And I functioned really well my whole life, you know, worked for lawyers for 30 years and sang on stages all over the world. And you know, I was functional, but at the emotional level, I was sort of fractured, you could say, due to early trauma. October, November. I had an experience where all of that went away. Like, it was like, imagine that you have a personality. And you have little sub-personalities, little bits that don't fit into the whole. You know, they're not part of the whole. They're like, you know, you have a traumatic event and part of that experience gets put over somewhere else. They call it sub-personalities. And they can still affect you and you can live with it, but it's not a happy situation. That is completely gone for me now. Completely gone. You can ask Tom. We're getting along better than we have in years because I'm so calm most of the time. I wasn't calm about the Zoom thing, but do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, could you tell us about the East Seti Ranch and what you experienced there?
Oh, that was very interesting. So I started working for Pete Slatterly, and he was coming from Australia to America. And so I drove up to meet him because I live in Southern Oregon And Seti Ranch is just above Hood River into Washington. I had always wanted to see a UFO, and I wanted to meet Pete. Certainly, he was one of the, probably the most fascinating author that I ever, you know, had anything to do with. So I drove up there with a friend. So Seti Ranch has been owned and operated for years by James Gillian. He's a little bit of a controversial character, but he's quite well known in the whole. Well, you know who he is, right? You know about his Seti already?
Yeah. Yeah, I know the name.
He's an intense guy, but it was very interesting. So we went out to watch the I want to read you just really briefly the vision that I had. Okay, so the first night we went out to watch the sky for UFOs flying around, and I wanted to read you the clairvoyant vision I had. It was really incredible. In my vision, the entire field was filled with different colors and interdimensional beings. This is the sky above a city. And they were laughing and singing and dancing. It was quite a party. Everything in the vision was scintillating light. In the center of the field, meaning the Seti field, a method of transport reached from the ground up into the sky as far as I could see. And we're talking about a clairvoyant vision here, not something you could touch, right? On the left, extraterrestrial beings were floated gently downwards. Arriving at the party, these visitors were welcomed by those already in the field. On the right, other beings were floating upwards. I thought that was pretty amazing. And it was fun because James and Pete were, they had night vision goggles on and laser lights and, you know, that whole story where people doing that all over. And they're like, there's one. Oh, look at it powered up. And you'd see the light. I mean, you could actually see them flying around up there. Changed my view of reality, all right.
If they asked you to go with them, have they ever said, can we collect you and take you somewhere?
You really know the questions to ask. I love this. You're a great interviewer. That's on my notes. I actually did. I wrote that down and I have the dates, okay? Okay, June 22, 2020. CG is writing a book and wants me to be her editor. She has asked me three times to come with her. In 2020, she said, quote, lay down on your bed. This was when I was first starting this regular meditation, right? It was the first time I had heard a voice and also the first time I had felt paralyzed. You know how they talk about that? People who are being abducted, they're paralyzed.
Yeah.
Scared, I forced myself to wake up. I heard a high-pitched female voice say, too soon. That was also the first time I experienced shaking when coming back into the body. So the, and then in May of 24, she said, this is clairvoyant communication while I'm out of body, meditating and out of OBE. Are you ready to come with me? I said, where are you taking me and will I come back? There was silence. She didn't answer. So I said, no. Then again in August of 24, she said, you can come with me at your request. I didn't say anything. And I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like what will, you know, and what I love about this, Simon, is I'm given a choice. I'm not just abducted. I don't like that word. You know, and taken against my will and had terrible things do to me. Although I'm sure that has happened to many people. I'm not invalidating anyone else's experience. I just want to add my voice in a positive way to this whole thing. But that you can come with me at your request. What do you think about that?
Do you think you ever will request that?
Yes, I think I will. But I don't. No. Well, I'm 79 going on 80. If I contract some horrible disease or there's World War III or something terrible happens, yeah, I probably will say something. I will in the affirmative. That's interesting. And I had another message along those lines. But one of them is from, this is from June of last year. Quote, your bags are packed and you are ready to go, but not yet. Your work as a human is not yet finished.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, what I find the most fascinating about that, and I'm not making any definitive statements here, is my work as a human. So who are they talking to? Are they talking to Jessica Bryan, who was born in 1946? Blah, blah, blah. Or are they talking, actually, in my spirit, I'm an ET myself. Somehow I don't think that's it.
Well, this thing with your body vibrating as you're coming out of meditation, I've heard that from a number of people, and they say that's how they can tell the ETs are around, because their body starts doing that.
I can only reiterate my experiences as when I'm going into meditation, which happens really quickly now because I'm so well trained for it at this point, I feel paralyzed. The first time that happened, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, I was really scared. And I literally forced my right arm to fly up in the air just to see if I could do it, right? But coming back, I think the vibrating mostly happens when I'm coming back into the body, when the astral body is rejoining the physical body. That's been my experience.
And there's a thought of that it's like your astral body's at a much higher vibration to your physical body, and so when they're coming together, it has this vibration.
That's right. That's right. It's totally, the physical body is a very heavy vibration. It's dense. It's solid. It's flesh. Whereas the spirit body, the etheric body, the energy body is pure energy. Yeah, so that makes sense. It has the energy body, in a way, has to contract itself at the energy level so that it can actually get back into the physical body. That makes sense. I hadn't thought about that.
So I wanted to ask you about another thing in the book. You said, a noise in the hallway brought me partway out of meditation. I was being escorted by someone. And you say it was towards a row of humans sitting in chairs that looked like dental chairs.
That's early in the book. You know, Simon, so many things have happened to me in the last few years and have continued to happen. It is hard for me to remember what happened when and what exactly it was. Yeah, I did a really fun drawing of that in here. They're all lined up in a row. This is the vision. Yes, I was escorted towards this row of, we'll call them people. And they're all sitting in a row and they have their backs towards me and they have a thing hooked into the top of their head. It looks like those old hair dryers they used to have in the 50s. You know, it's like a helmet kind of thing with the cord on it. And there's a whole row of them and they're looking kind of up and they all look the same. And on the wall in front of them is the ticker tape. What appears it's the same shape as the ticker tape. I don't recall now if there was words on it at that moment. But it's like I was being taken to join this class of other people who were seeing the ticker tape. Yeah, I forgot about that one. That was fun.
Is it that when you're meditating, you go out of body? And when people have near-death experience, they talk about it's actually you. It's not that you're having a vision of it. You feel you're totally separate from your body?
Yes, absolutely. And I knew we would talk about that because of the book you've just written about near-death experiences. Essentially, what happens when I go out of body, when I'm meditating every day, is I'm leaving my body, just like the spirit leaves the body when someone dies, or just like when they leave the body, they stick their foot in the water on the other side, give it a little test, and then they come back. And I know you've written a beautiful book of stories about that, and it's identical to what happens to me on a daily basis. And I often tell people, I'm not scared of dying anymore because I know where I'm going. That isn't 100% true, but you understand what I'm saying? I know that it's, I have faith that I'm going to a good place, but it's not a big unknown like it is for a lot of people who are afraid to die. I'm not scared of it anymore. I mean, I'm scared of pain, of course, everybody is, but.
So where do you go when you're in this out-of-body state?
All different things happen. That's what the whole book is about, what I can remember of it. I mean, some of it is quite amazing.
So is there one incident that really stands out for you?
There's two that I can think of. In one of them, so a lot of times I know immediately I'm on another planet or in another reality because it's different. Often it's the light and the colors are different. And in one that stands out is I'm walking on a road of crumbled cement. It's like there's been an explosion or something has happened, and it's just a jumbled up pile of pieces of concrete or rocks. And I'm walking on this road or pathway, and there's other people walking on the pathway, and I'm trying to figure out how to get back to my body, how to go home. Where am I going? I'm going somewhere and I want to go home or et cetera. And on my left, I want to do an illustration of this one. I haven't done it yet. I think this might be in the new book. I don't think this is in the first book. On my left, there's a drop off. So this path that I'm on is kind of raised. And I see this black woman. She's walking to my left, but she's at a lower than I am. And as we're both walking, she's going down. It's this weird sort of juxtaposition. And so I kept on walking. I wasn't upset, but I was getting a little disturbed, like, how do I get out of here? You know? And I got up to a crossroads, and there was other people who were all going on another road that crossed the road I was on. And I stopped the man and I said, which direction are you going? He said, oh, I'm going east. So I thought, okay, east. If that means I should go north, I need to go north. I used to live on North Broad Street. I don't know. So I went north, and almost immediately I was back in my body in my meditation chair. And then I read somewhere. I don't know where I read this. I don't know where I read it. It might have been Monroe, where they said, if you get lost out on the astral, you know, wherever, go north and it'll take you back to your body. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it that you found out about the Monroe Institute after you'd been doing all your out-of-body?
Yes. Yes. That's important for people to know that, you know, I didn't read about Monroe and sit down and say, okay, I'm going to try to go out of body and blah, blah, blah. Absolutely not. That was about 3 years after I'd already been doing it. My husband said, you know, you should read Robert Monroe's book because he talks a lot about the same thing that's happening to you. And I'm glad. I have always tried to not read about things that are important to my experience because I want to know that my experience is pure, that it's my experience and not something that I read in a book last week that somebody else wrote. You understand? And so I didn't, that whole early period of the ticker tape, I didn't really study anything else. I mean, I knew some things from being Pete's editor, of course, but
yeah.
Yeah. And I read Monroe and it was like, wow. But what struck me so strange about him is, well, not him, but what his work turned into, a whole plan where you can go take a class and study it and learn how to do it and all of that. I would never go for that. You know what I mean? Because there again, I would be following someone else's instructions.
Yeah, I see.
It's more fun this way. I mean, Simon, I'm on a big adventure here. I don't know if you figured that out yet, yeah. But that's like, whoa, it's every day. I never know what's going to happen.
We've just about run out of time.
Oh, boy, too soon.
The book is called The Ticker Tape, Healing Encounters with Extraterrestrial and Spiritual Beings. And people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yep. Yeah, I've had a lot of trouble with Amazon, but as of right now, it's listed on Kindle and also print on demand. Anybody ever has a problem finding my book, they can contact me directly. Okay. I had quite a bit of trouble with the technology involved with Amazon.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Yeah, I like talking to you, Simon.
And that was an interview with Jessica Bryan about her book, The Ticker Tape, Healing Encounters with Extraterrestrial and Spiritual Beings. My next book, which is titled Aspects of Alien Abduction, will be published on May 25th. And you can pre-order the Kindle version on Amazon right now, but it will be available on paperback and audiobook. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the link is in the show notes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.